The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Teacher Quit Talk. I'm Fras.
I'm Redacted, and we have someone who didn't quit. We have a strongest soldier in the room with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Still going strong for now.
And we're here to talk about middle school because we are terrified of them and you are among them.
And love them.
Listen, I do really like them. And I'll be honest with you, kindergarten is my Dante's Inferno. So I don't really understand the hesitation. I subbed in kindergarten for like half a day and I'm never going back.
I went to middle school one day and I was
like... That was your fire festival.
I feel like a lot of times people who are middle school teachers are afraid of kindergarten and kindergarten is afraid of middle school. Like, I've had this conversation so many times.
There's really more in common than there are differences, though. But there's way more tears, I feel like, in kindergarten. And I don't give off a nurturing vibe on the regular. You can ask my own child. It's not great.
She's like, I give her 3.5 stars. I don't know.
She's like, she'll hug me, but, you know.
You can feel it's awkward for her.
Yeah, so it's just, they're so tiny and emotional, and I'm like, can't you get over it? And that doesn't work, so I don't really venture down that way anymore.
You're on a list now.
I look at middle schoolers, though, and I'm like, I feel like you should have it more together than you do. You're so tall. Like,
why are you upset? You're very tall, so calm down.
You have to understand that their kid brain just, like, stretched into a tall body.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do with it yet. So it's kind of, it's very similar to, and it's not me insulting my middle schoolers, I love them. It's very similar to the toddler stage of life, where it's just like wreckage everywhere because they're not used to the physicality of their body anymore. Then some of them are and some of them aren't. And then there's this huge discrepancy and there's like a hierarchy. Not in sixth grade. Sixth grade's pretty tame. Once you hit seventh, I don't really go in their wing anymore.
Like held a lot of different positions in education. Can you give us like a rundown? Because I feel like you're like a jack of all trades of education. Like you could put you anywhere and you know what's up.
More flighty. I think you can rebrand it as I'm a Gemini and an air sign and I refuse to commit to anything. I started off as a special education teacher. That was my dream. That was my goal. My mom taught special education. Early intervention, actually. She tried to get me into it. I was just like, Mom, come on.
That's your dream, Mom, not mine.
Yeah, Mom. She's like the sweetest person ever.
I don't want to be an educational support to children age 3 to 6. Get out of here.
I did special education elementary for most of my years. I did learning support. Then I became a math coach for primary. Mm. Right when like the standards changed to Common Core. People loved it. Am I right? Like, they were so into it, especially the families.
You were getting love letters on the daily.
Honestly, I loved it because, like, you can send me an 8-paragraph email. I'm going to respond with also 8 paragraphs, and we'll see how it ends. So I actually really enjoyed it. Then they got rid of the position. That's when I went to gen ed third grade, because why not? Then I went back into special education because they didn't need another third grade teacher, and I felt bad sending any of the other ones out because I had just got there. So I was like, whatever. And then I made my way to middle school on a whim. I was like, you know what? I didn't take those practices for nothing to tack on those certifications.
Don't you have like the highest of degrees though? Like, aren't you like basically Jill Biden of education right now? Doing more.
My doctorate is in like curriculum.
That's learning. Close enough.
Sure.
It's good for me.
The kids have realized though a doctor doesn't mean much when they see me in the day to day. They're like, they let you get one? And I'm like, they're handing them out like candy. But I did middle school English and realized that was the worst. And now I just landed in a position that's middle school science and social studies. So it's half day life science, half day world geography.
That's so fun.
I can't even describe how amazing it is.
Right?
Life science is all just like, let's talk about how cool the planet is and all the weird stuff that's on
it.
You
can show a lot of really weird YouTube videos for that.
You can, but like, they can't really see cells that much. So they're kind of over it. They're like, we get it as a nucleus. Like, they don't care.
I would be like, look at this shark that impregnated a ray in North Carolina. Let's discuss.
Talk to you about that tomorrow. Stingray Jesus.
I knew you were.
I'm not going to say that part because that's going to give me an email. But we had a whole chapter on asexual versus sexual reproduction.
I'm sure that was a joy to talk about with 11-year-olds.
They were so sick of me saying the word sperm. Like, that's why it doesn't even matter what they do. They get so sick of me that they're, like, setting a boundary with me. They're like, can you stop?
I think you figured out the hack.
They're like, maybe we've had it. Maybe it's too much. And I go, okay, well, tone that down, I guess. Yeah, it's, and world geography is great, talking about the planet yet again, just, you know, with humans specifically. And it's amazing. So yeah, sorry, I haven't quit. I mean, maybe if they move me, I'll quit.
It's always there for you.
You could always threaten it.
Never too late.
Listen, they put me in elementary, I'm out in a heartbeat.
I think it's very, very important to set your clear teaching boundaries with your admin. Just a few weeks ago, I was very clear. I said, I know you're working on the schedule for next year. If I am not teaching AP US History, I will be working at Applebee's. Those are the choices. Do what you will with that info. Love you.
You probably made great tips. I mean,
literally, I was like, it's very comparable to me. If anything, I'd work less hours there.
100%.
Everybody's going to see you on this episode and be like, oh my God, quitting. What? No, we just really like you. And this is our fucking podcast, so we can do whatever the fuck we want.
Send like a school-wide clickbaity email. It's like, doctor not going to say quitting. Listen here to find out.
I'm going to make that the title of this episode. No, I'm not.
Well, I mean, do what you need to do. I'm not here to mess up the branding. I'm just so grateful. So whatever you need to do, I support it. And I'll deal with the backlash. It's whatever.
You have a doctorate. What are they going to do? Fire you?
I mean, they're probably like, I can't believe she has one. The only reason I really made it through is that one of my coworkers who's also a good friend of mine and went through the same program. And she actually has like a good work ethic. So she would like keep me on track.
Would love to experience that one day.
Me too.
Having someone who like looks out for you.
No, like
just having a work
caring ethic. About deadlines and like being like, oh, I have a task, I should complete it right now, as that would be less stressful than waiting till it's too late. Like, I just wish I was one of those people. I'm not, but
the rush of like when it's right at the end to get it done,
right? And then it always turns out so good.
Mm-hmm. And then you have no motivation to ever change. I think that's
because it always, I'm always going to come out on top.
It's never not worked. Why change now? My biggest thing with my dissertation is that anytime I ever got any essay back, I threw it away. I don't do well with constructive feedback. Feedback in general, but constructive, absolutely not. So every essay I would get back in college, I would throw it away and not look at any comments. I'm not looking to improve because I hated writing it in the first place. But a dissertation, you have to make changes and resubmit.
That's awful. I don't think I'll ever know, because the high school I went to was like fucking preparing us for Harvard. I don't know what the fuck was going on with that. So all I got was extreme negative feedback all the time and was scoring consistent 80s on everything. And literally, like, they would like rip your paper up for your MLA being wrong, or like your fucking page number was on the left instead of the right. Like, they were that type of institution. And then I went to college in Florida. So all the kids there went to high school in Florida. So my professor would be like, your paper was in your own words. So that is a 100. Thank you so much. Perfect. So I don't really know if I know how to do that.
You're going to find out really soon when you start grad school.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
I think it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. I talked to the advisor today. It seems like they are not a very high caliber of university. I think I'll be a-okay.
Perfect.
I was like, I'm going to end up on a bulletin board because I'm a lot, doing a lot more than it seems like most of you.
I'm on the bulletin board for my credential program. There was a whole photo shoot.
Of course. Perfect. You are.
I don't know how I end up in these situations.
I think you just have like that face that's like, I also want to be living that life. And I think that's great.
Put her in the brochure.
They don't ask me for any of that shit. They never ask me to be in any photos.
I think I just give off extreme pushover vibes. I also have a lot of people that tell me secrets in like the parking lot. Like strangers will approach me and just tell me things.
Oh, I'm a big people tell me their secrets. Like, always people will tell me, and it's always like someone that shouldn't. Like, it's always like an academic advisor that's like, I really shouldn't be talking about this. And then I like know that your husband cheated on you.
That's a secret mouse tool you can use later, though.
Yeah.
They don't realize you have a bank. I've actually had to tell my coworkers and my friends that I wouldn't say that I'm malicious in secret sharing. It's not on purpose. It's that ideas bounce so fast from my head. If you're telling a story and I can relate to it, I'm immediately contributing, even if it wasn't my story to tell. But what'll happen is people love it. But I always warn them before they meet me. I'm like, you cannot tell me things unless you specifically say the words, don't tell anyone. It's like a switch gets flipped. Yes. And I don't say it to anybody. But if I don't have that disclaimer, it's free game to my brain.
I am the exact same way. I knew that we were like kindred spirits because if you don't tell me it's a secret, I've already told 14 people. But if you tell me it's a secret, I will take that to my grave. I'll forget it. So I don't even know.
So I'm like trustworthy with a warning. But like if not, then I don't know what to
trustworthy
tell you.
When given clear directions. When not.
Yeah, that's in my like 504. I should just hand that to coworkers when they
give them a one pager.
Business card size printed.
Oh, at a glance.
Yeah.
If you don't follow it, that's on you.
It's a legal document.
It should be a legal document. Yeah, like I'll take you to court. Don't worry about it.
It'll be super expensive. 12 to 18 months probably. We'll deal with it then.
No problem at all. How long have you been teaching?
This is my 15th year.
You can almost drive a car with your teaching credential.
I know. I can get my permit, which feels about accurate for what I'm providing day to day.
I don't know how to phrase this question. I feel like I've gone through two cycles of thinking that I know what I'm doing. Does that continue to happen?
I feel like I'm not a good reference for that because I've rarely had 2 years look the same.
That sounds exhausting.
But it's kind of my normal.
Yeah.
Like this year I'm teaching the same stuff again and I'm like, why don't we spice it up a little bit? And then my coworkers are like, how about not? And I'm like, okay.
You're like, so just print it out? Cool.
Yeah. I will say like classroom management wise, I know who I am and I know like how my classroom runs. It's not perfect by any means, but for me it works. If I can get the kids to like my classroom enough, you can pretty much get anything done.
Yeah,
at least where I am, like that's just worked out. If I can get them to like me enough, they'll adapt to most things I throw at them.
Middle schoolers I feel like are more adaptable than elementary or high school.
Yeah, I actually made a Venn diagram. Do you want to see it?
Absolutely. I do.
You guys know I love Venn diagrams because I have the eyeball one.
Oh, I love a Venn diagram.
So it's silly, serious, and scared.
Oh, yes.
In the middle is middle school because you experience all those emotions. They're still silly, but they're trying to be serious, but they're scared out of their minds. And then elementary is just silly and scared. And then I wasn't sure about high school, but I kind of put high school at serious and scared. Because they're like maybe going to start their new life, but maybe not.
I will say they're very silly, but their silly is scared. Like the jokes that they make, I'm like, let's talk about that though.
Let's
like
talk
how
that.
Are we really feeling? Like literally one of them the other day, it was her 17th birthday and she was joking and she was like, less than 365 days and it's all over. I'm on my own. And I was like, you're joking, but it sounds like maybe you're also very scared.
Like maybe you're not okay.
Like maybe we also cry about that at night. I don't know.
I was like, I can offer a mint or a meaningful look.
I keep Jolly Ranchers. Like, I'm like, how about a Jolly? You're sad? Okay.
I'm like, I have a wet wipe.
I mean, that works.
I love being with both of you because both of you are so different than me. Whereas every year I've ever taught, my coworkers are like, why are your kids like so weepy and like talking about their feelings? And I'm like, well, we just talk about our feelings every single day at every opportunity.
But that's the correct foundation. That's why I can't be there.
Yeah, literally.
That's the foundation they're supposed to have. That's why it's not me.
And the opposite is like, I can't go to middle school because they eat me alive. I am gobbled up.
You get used to it.
I like them.
Yeah.
But I just cannot be in charge of them, you know?
I will say, I know I said I don't like it or I don't provide my child with nurturing. One thing I have taught her, and it really takes a lot in me to like sit and listen to her talk about her feelings because I will zone out.
Because like kids suck at communicating that.
But you're
like,
just present and that's
she's
important.
It's a real strength of hers to communicate her. Every adult around her, teachers have told me this. Counselors have told me this, like she's really good at describing her feelings. And I'm like, yeah, because I let her do it. And then I offer advice and she goes, no, I don't think so. And I'm like, all right, well.
She's so me.
I'll see myself out.
She's like, I'm either looking for 100% agreement or close your mouth. And I think that's fair.
Wow, she really is me.
Listen, like I look at her and she'll do some stuff and I go, is that the OCD? Did I give that? Maybe it's sneaking in a little bit. Okay.
I'm going to write that down in the notes app on my phone for no particular reason with a time and a date.
Yeah, we're going to save that. We're going to save that for later. But
God, the Celsius is really Celsiusing.
No, I think they're putting something in that. It's really not normal what it does to me. Have you tried it?
Can I be honest with you? I don't know what you're talking about.
It's an energy drink and I think there's an illegal substance in it. Like
it's like drugs.
Oh, absolutely not.
It has so much caffeine in it. I can only drink half of one. And even off half of one, I'm like a different person. It's scary.
I've never even heard of it. Like that's how much I'm so out of that realm. Like when Prime came out, that's all I had for my students and they were all collecting the bottles. They're like, I got the blue one. I'm like, I love that for you. Can you wash it out at least?
You're like, that's disgusting and there's a trail of ants. pants leading directly into your book bag. So
if what lives in the lockers lives in there, if they can make it work, I think that's fine.
That's one area of middle school that I do find concerning, that I don't know how to communicate respectfully towards middle schoolers, but they are not known to be the generally cleanest among our population.
Now, I hear people say that. I'm going to tell you what. I have a really bad sense of smell, so I really don't suffer anything.
Me too.
So it does not affect me, so I don't notice that stuff. We also have a pool that the kids are required to do part swimming for phys ed.
You're lying. You work at like a movie school. Like, that's not a real place. You work at the High School Musical middle school.
They hate it.
I'm sure.
They don't have one at the high school. I think our junior high used to be our high school.
Oh.
Which is why it has some like amenities. But it's so chlorinated.
I'm sure it smells awful in there.
Everything's killed. So I don't really know. I don't notice that. Other people seem to, but...
Maybe life hack for middle schools, dunk your students into highly chlorinated water once per day.
Yeah, keep it in a spray bottle.
Maybe that is the hack.
You know those misters they have in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Just get that for your door, but it's just Febreze. So like, and put up a sensor, just sprays when they walk in.
One time I was on an international flight and they did that. It was misting us. And I was like, what is that killing or putting on me? I don't think I signed anything.
That's like from a dystopian novel. That's like,
yeah,
they're tracking you with something now.
I was like, do I eat it?
Like catching a snowflake? Thank you, Big Brother. Whatever you want.
Thank you, American Airlines.
Strawberry, I think.
I was seeing somebody made a TikTok recently about a letter that went home about middle schoolers being stinky, and they were like, these are the things that are happening in your child's schools these days. And I'm like, I feel like we've gotten the stinky letter since I was in middle school.
Yeah.
I feel like that's since the dawn of time. That's a very canon event.
Yeah, I don't think that's new. And I remember them giving us like goodie bags in health
yeah,
class.
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember Teen Spirit?
Yes.
Of course.
That deodorant, that gave me the worst rash of my life. Like it was like an open sore.
I think I'm going to switch back to that. I think I missed that.
That sold it to you?
Glittery scented Teen Spirit.
I think it had glitter in it.
They sold it at Limited too.
It was like an oozing sore. And I was like, is this what it is to be clean?
Yep. Nailed it.
I was like, what a good life lesson. And they check you for scoliosis.
They're like, you definitely have it. And then they never say anything again.
They're like, well, we get checked.
That one's got
Did
it.
Did anybody not have scoliosis at that screening?
I think I made it through okay.
I had scoliosis.
I'm not trying to judge because I don't really like have the degree that's anywhere in that realm. But it didn't seem like a foolproof checking system. Like it basically was like, bend over.
And it was like someone's mom who like worked at urgent care.
I'm like, yeah, I'm going to count your vertebrae. I don't know what they're, I mean... I guess if you could find it. I don't know why I'm judging this like I would even know. I am a doctor, but...
you're my primary care. That's what I wrote at urgent care last time.
I told the kids, I said, if you bleed, you're on your own. I do keep like cocoa melon Band-Aids, but I'm not.
Hell yeah.
Dude, they love it. Cocoa melon, crayon-shaped Band-Aids, baby dinosaur cartoons.
Were they like raised on cocoa melon? How long has cocoa melon been around? Like, are they iPad babies via cocoa melon?
I think so. Or they have younger siblings. Like middle school is so great because they're just starting to feel nostalgia and it makes them feel older to be nostalgic.
Yes.
So like with my 7th and 8th graders that I have a club with every day, we just had a Valentine's party and I had them decorate bags. And kids brought in all the candy and stuff to pass around. And I brought in, but I was too lazy to fill them out. And then I didn't even put them together. So I was like individually giving out the card and the sticker and the lollipop.
We are the same person. I also did not fill mine out, but I made a kid put them together and gave her a bag of Doritos for putting together 100 Valentines.
The party already started and I had to hand them out.
Like you got them on the way to the party.
That's what's sad is that I have little moments where I'm like, oh, my life is together, but I always mess it up by the end. Like it's always a disaster.
What I heard is that kids got Valentines.
Listen, they were like, I want the unicorn sticker. And I would read each one to them.
That's more meaningful.
Like I was like, you're a slice of awesome, and put it in their bag real slow.
Full eye contact.
You're perfect, real slow. And I think that that's a gift of experience.
Yes.
So
it's a step beyond the Valentine. You got a moment with me, a cherished adult in your life. You're welcome.
I mean, what more could they ask for?
Nothing. But they like stuff like that. Like they don't feel like it's baby. Like they think it's like fun.
It was their idea.
I love when they have ideas.
Because here's the thing, like, it's also the age where you realize that being a kid was kind of, like, cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, you miss that, and they all look at the 6th graders, and they're like, well, it's just, like, so much more mature. And I go, okay. It's, like, 1 year, I think you can calm down. But, yeah, they still want to do, like, when we are coloring in class, like, they eat that up. I feel like, I don't know, Redacted, if you made the video about, like, doing more paper pencil stuff?
Yes, that was me. It was also other people, but I was talking about that. And I've really pivoted. It's been a very interesting journey.
Me too. Like, I just started switching to a lot more, and it almost seems like the stress level is down.
Right? It's like the stimulation level goes down. There's less random beeping and, like, music that plays.
Do you have anything like Go Guardian that lets you watch their screens?
No.
I love that thing.
My county said, fly blind. Fly blind, girly. Good luck. And we're not going to block Disney Plus on the Chromebooks. The amount of times that the kids, it looks like they're working all on their little laptops. And then I do a lap in the room and, like, you're watching Moana, you're watching Cars 2. What are we doing?
The cinema is the cinema, you know what I mean? Whatever you can get to it.
One kid told me he watches 3 movies every day. Perfect.
Well, our Chromebooks don't stay with our kids. They stay in our rooms.
I like that.
And our IT department is, like, hardcore when it comes to, like, blocking things. And Go Guardian, like, I saw Fraz's face light up. I live for that. I love being in their business. I don't normally close a tab on a kid, but I will write a message that goes, hey, and then they'll just close it themselves. Because they're like, whoa. Okay.
That's worse. Like, somehow more intrusive.
Or if they're, like, looking at pictures of, like, a certain celebrity, I'll comment on that celebrity, and that horrifies them. So you just got to think outside the box when it comes to middle schoolers.
Yeah, I saw your little fingers, the hand on the fingers. They love those baby, the little plastic babies and the little fingers and all those things.
And that to me is just good old-fashioned mischief, like, yeah. Not harmful.
I love mischief.
Just enough mischief that still has a boundary with it. I told the kids, if I have to get emails about tiny hands, I'll burn them all in front of you. I don't care. I'm not going to get emailed about these. So no. you need to practice boundaries of where they should show up, because I'm not doing it.
We are the same.
But I can't keep them in my store. Like, it's on back order. I have a waiting list of kids. Like, they can't get enough.
See, that's the fucking problem about doing something fun at school, like a little store or reward system, is then suddenly that turns into, like, a business that you have to run. And then you realize, like, oh, I am logistically operating a for-profit business with 100 customers. That kind of got out of hand.
But here's the thing. So we have a digital point system.
Like, for the whole school?
Yes.
These people have it together.
Which I know there's, like, mixed stuff or whatever. When it comes to points, I just give them to kids as a thank you. Like, if a kid asks a really good question in class, I give everyone a point. Because I'm like, that helps all of us. Like, that was a really good thought, makes us think. Like, I like that. And I give everyone a point.
A rising tide lifts all boats or something.
A rising tide lifts ships, I think.
I don't know. Redacted.
When the water goes up, all the motherfucking boats go up. Hello.
It's a tsunami of knowledge. Slightly dangerous, but can be handled. But so we have a point system. So when they buy from my store, I have my inventory on my screen, and I'm clicking what they want to purchase and redeeming. And they'll try to walk away, and I go, what if your card's declined? You can't just walk away. Stay in line. And I do that every Friday, and I kind of live for it. So
that does sound fun, to have, like, a school-wide point system. I would be messy. Can you see what points they get in other classes?
Probably. I do like having that kind of knowledge, but I'm a little too obsessed with, like, I get on kids about their grades, even in classes that aren't mine. Like, I'm in their business. I had a kid who's at the high school now who was like, I didn't realize that at the high school we wouldn't have someone checking our grades like you did. Like, yeah, because they've got,
you're
like,
you're not supposed to have that here. I'm just annoying.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, I'm not normal, and I'm an enabler. You didn't have to learn time management because I obsessed about it. So
because I managed your time and I did it very well.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And normally in a rage, but that's okay. So they're not really learning life skills as much as I just couldn't handle the idea of a kid being around me for 40 minutes and having, like, a failing grade when I could, like, help them.
I should do that. I never check their grades. So then on the rare occasion I do, it's so jarring to me. I'm like, oh my God, you're failing other things? You are literally fine. I'm like, you've been here every day. What's going on? That's very unlikely. Like you.
I just like the power of being able to be in their business. That's why I like Go Guardian.
I want Go Guardian. I should send some emails.
I had to use Go Guardian during the pandemic lockdown times because I was teaching kindergarten. And sometimes the only way we could get shit done is if I opened everything at once and was like, okay, this is opening on your Chromebook now. And I could, like, see if they were, like, lost. Like, hey, friend, I noticed that you're on, the attendance tab. Somehow I'm going to go ahead and close that for you. Get you back to ST Math or whatever.
Gigi the Penguin?
You know about Gigi the Penguin? How do you know about Gigi the Penguin?
Because I've been at schools that use that program.
We love Gigi the Penguin. Actually, my third graders hated Gigi the Penguin, but kindergarten loved it.
It is really good. Now, my visual spatial skills are like below sea level. So these kids would get to the challenge ones at the end and be like, can you help me? And I'm like, no.
I couldn't.
I don't know how to do it.
There was one for fractions that my kids were always coming up to me with their computers and being like, Miss, what are they asking me? And I'm like, I have no clue. Because there's not directions. You have to intuit what Gigi's asking you to do. And I'm like, I'm sorry, friend. I can make you skip it.
Just let me realign your schedule here.
I'm just going to take that one out.
I always lie to them when stuff like that happens. I'm always like, that was a test to see if anyone noticed. Good job. Here's some raffle tickets. Thanks for bringing that to my attention.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Should I talk about this? Whatever. I recently had a passionate professional discussion with the IXL representative.
Oh, all right.
So let me be diplomatic here. So these people don't know who I am. They just know that I am a part of this mandatory training. And I unfortunately discovered that me and IXL have different accountings of certain historical events that I felt that we should just all make sure that we are on the same page about what happened. Mm. And also discovered that maybe possibly what is in there, maybe just as one woman's opinion, is not aligned to our standardized test. Just as one woman who notices things.
Yeah.
So from like a user interface, I love IXL. But once I get into the depths of IXL, there's been meetings. I'll leave it at that.
I've only ever used the ELA when I taught ELA. And the problem is, am I certified to teach middle school grammar? Yeah. Do I still fully understand and remember how to punctuate dialogue? No. So these kids will come to me for help, and like I'm almost throwing the Chromebook across the room, because when you get one right, it's like 2 points. And when you get one wrong, you're sent into the depths of hell that you then have to climb back out.
And you have like a million more questions to do because you like misdragged one thing. I will say in our training session, it seemed like the grammar and the math were very like rigorous and like had good user interface.
Sure. Rigorous is one word for it.
I was trying to think of a nice one.
It is. I don't hate it. I mean, I think I've had districts use it. It's not like the worst thing.
Yeah.
I just always felt so bad when they came to me for help and I just destroyed everything for them.
I got 4 wrong in a row. So you have 90 minutes tonight. Good luck with that.
I would actually then take it and go, I'm going to answer the next 5 to make up for what I just did. Like, that's on me. It's a border system now. Yeah. And then we'll bring you back in.
This is a relay race.
You thought you were getting help. And I warned them too. I go, you can bring it over here, but I don't know how it's going to go.
It's a risk that you, a calculated risk.
It's like, I'm certified middle school math, but I have a kiddo right now who's accelerated. And he'll come over and be like, you want to check this for me? And I go, I don't know, dude, do I? You know that I hit my limit last time. Like, just go on Khan Academy. Like, why did you keep asking?
You're like, Google is literally free.
Me teaching third grade with fractions being like, hang on. I don't know which one's bigger. Just kidding. I need to Google this right now. Or like I would be walking through the video with them and we would all figure out together what the answer was at the same time.
I'm telling you, fractions in third grade is like insane. The level of what they expect them to do.
I know.
They're so tiny.
It's very advanced.
I remember showing our second grade teachers as when I was math coach. I said, take a look. And they're like, oh my God. Because it goes from second grade being like, this is a half.
Right.
That's a fourth. And then in third grade, it's like, what's equivalent to 5/6? It's like, oh my God.
I know. And then it's like, then they have to be able to multiply and divide and do all these things to get, oh my gosh, it was such
rough.
Yeah. Cause that's, I feel like I remember being in third grade too. This is not even what this episode's fucking about. Sorry. But I remember being in third grade and that's when I started noticing the snowball rolling away from me in math class that I was like, I was behind in multiplication. So then I was behind in fractions. And then I was behind in blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And it's like things rolled away.
Math is hard. I feel like at the same thing, math rolled away from me. And then I distinctly remember one day in 10th grade, it came back. And I was like, oh my God, this is easy as fuck. That was so embarrassing that for like 7 years, I didn't understand what was going on the whole time.
I'm so jealous that you had that experience.
It's gone now, though. My students asked me to help them with their math homework. And I almost started crying because on the fucking little website I put like point something and it was like wrong 0 point, and I was like, you knew what I fucking meant.
Get to the kitchen table, I'm gonna yell at you.
Literally, I was like, okay, like you've never fucking made a mistake, what do you mean?
I hate to almost say it, but I will anyway. I loved math. It was probably one of my strongest subjects. You know what class I hated? Science. And now I teach it.
I think a bad student is a great teacher. 100%. Because I can look in your eyes and be like, I know how it feels to feel so dumb you can't even raise your hand to ask a question because you can't even formulate a full thought. Like, I know that feeling in my bones.
I'm not really into hands-on learning. I didn't really like labs. I didn't want to.
Just tell me what happened.
I never wanted to apply my knowledge. You know what I mean?
I would always fake religious reasons to get out of labs because my parents took us to this like weird hippie church. So I would just make the lady at the church write a note saying that I couldn't participate.
Didn't you? This might be too deep dive for you, but didn't you go to like a Unitarian?
Yes, it's Unitarian Universalist.
My family looked at one of those.
I will say, I'm not really that into organized religion. I think it's the best organized religion I've ever had firsthand experience in. Like, they're middle school curriculum is actually really fucking cool. Instead of like doing Sunday school when you're in middle school, at least at the place I went, all the middle schoolers go on a field trip to different religions every single week. So like I've been to like a million different types of place of worship. And like sometimes you have to go on Saturday because like certain religions do their thing on Saturday. So like they took us to like a Buddhist temple, a synagogue. Like I've been everywhere.
I love that. I like how you circled it back to middle school. You were like,
didn't even do that on purpose. But that's like, I think the like best thing about that organized religion is what they're doing with their middle schoolers, because they're like, let's get them out of the fucking building, out in the world learning.
Well, that's like, isn't it Montessori, isn't the quote where she was like, middle schoolers should just be out farming or something, because she didn't even know what to do with them. She was like, just put them in the field. I don't even know.
The children yearn for the farm.
They should be out there. When you teach child labor, do the kids say they would rather do that? Because that happens to me every time.
A little bit, because we talked about in geography a smidge of the Industrial Revolution. And they were like, well, yeah, I could work now. And I go, well, they loved you because you had tinier hands to fit inside the machines. So how many fingers do you need? I mean, you decide what would work for you.
Mine took like a very like OSHA stance on it. Like they were like in favor of it, but they were like, he needs boots. Why did they think this was going to work? Like they were kind of like just going after like the strategy and not like the system.
I really want to psychoanalyze that.
Right? Because a lot of them were like, it was literally the boy, the picture, it's like a famous photo of like the barefoot boy like climbing up the fucking sewing machine to fix something. And they were like, we could do that. I think it's because most of them have jobs. And I'm going to be honest. I think I would prefer working in an 1890s factory over doing the customer service desk at Publix. So I can kind of see where their head is at.
I do love a repetitive task. It makes me feel really productive.
Because they were like, that seems better than my job. And I'm like, fair point.
Customer service in general is like exhausting.
And a lot of them work in like food, like fast food and things like that. Like one of them was telling me how this lady cursed her out over an ice cream cake. I was like, you're literally a kid. Like,
yeah, that person has issues. I can't.
Do you feel like the government cares about middle school? Speaking of middle school, going to circle it back and land the plane. Because I know the government cares about third grade reading and they care about graduation rates. So like, does the government, do they be in y'all's business like that?
I mean, so I'm in Pennsylvania. You know, state tests still happen every year.
Yeah.
So they're still in your business every time. What's weird to me about middle school, it's not just the district I'm in now, is that it's still not a lot of choice for the kids schedule-wise. Yeah. And I think they're actually old enough to have a little more choice, but I think they're locked in because Keystones, which I don't know if other states do, but Keystones are like the high school version of state testing. Like you'll have a biology Keystone, an algebra Keystone. They're like an end of semester course test, and that's their state test. So I think because up until eighth grade, they still take the regular old-fashioned PSSA. They still take the seventh grade ELA, seventh grade math, eighth grade ELA. I don't know if eighth grade math is a thing. But because of that, I feel like it really limits what choices they have, because they still have to take these like general education courses, and I'd love to see it get more specific for them. But yeah, I don't really do I think the government's looking at it. I think they probably look at middle school like most of the general public. Go like, oh, I'm good.
They're like, there's that, y'all have a lot going on.
They're like, we gave up. It's fine. Just if you like make it through, I think that's solid.
They're like, most of them are reading, right? That seems good enough. I
mean,
think.
Fingers crossed. You know, just so yeah, I do. I will say we're trying to like do MTSS in the middle school. We're trying to like get interventions going.
How's that going? My school recently started doing MTSS, and none of the kids on my roster receive those services, so I don't really know what's going on with it. But I, from what I can tell, a lot of people have a lot of feelings.
It is. I mean. MTSS was RTII. It's like the same thing. They just did a little rebrand.
So MTSS is a multi-tiered system of supports. And then you said the other one?
Response to instruction and intervention.
Yeah. It's kind of like, from what I've gathered from the 130-minute training I went to, is it's like services within education, but it's not special education.
Right. So it's like just identifying need regardless of identification and getting extra support to the kids. So we actually revamped our whole schedule so kids could have extra support. I think some really good things have happened. But then again, I'm in content areas. So like, I'm not the one that has to go to a bunch of the trainings. So CCMU would be like, I think it's great. It's not really affecting my life that much. So I try to not, you know, put too many thoughts into things that don't affect me.
So you're a veteran teacher now. Like, you've passed the 10-year mark. You're like, yeah, in it.
Would you ever do anything that's not teaching? Like, if you weren't a teacher, what would you do?
It's still teaching, but I did look at higher ed, and then I realized that they want you to write too much stuff, and I hate that. So I'm not doing that. I don't know. I like working with people, so I don't want to be somewhere that I'm not around people on a regular basis, but for set blocks of time. Like, there has to be a leaving so I can go, like, recoup. I do enjoy doing things in relation to comedy, but I don't have the work ethic to, like, do stand-up or something.
It's a very tumultuous gig.
I don't think people realize how much work is. They'll be like, you're funny, though. You should do it. Like, that's a lot of work to, like, write jokes.
But, like, being funny in a conversation is really different than being funny alone with a microphone for 30 minutes.
Yes. So I don't really know what I would do if I wasn't teaching.
Good thing you're teaching.
Yeah, I know.
You appear to be good at it, just from what I've picked up on.
When did you almost quit? You said you almost did once.
I did. You know, after my first, there were probably two times I almost quit, but I'll tell you about the first one. After my first year of teaching, I was special education. This is at, not the district I'm at now. I went through a due process immediately after my first year of teaching. If you're not familiar with that, that's when a family of a student with an IEP kind of like takes the district to, I guess it's a judge, but I don't know. But it's like the process of saying, you know, we're not happy with the services they got. It wasn't so much what I had done. It was more so what had happened before I got there. But it was, you know, I had to testify for like 3 hours about what I had. And it was after my first year. So, you know, that was stressful. I didn't love it. It doesn't make me think, I mean, I think due process is super appropriate. I think when, you know, grown-ups see that their kids might not be getting what they need, I think they need to voice that.
Yeah, that doesn't make it fun.
No, and I thought I would have walked away being like, I can't believe they do that. But it's like, no, I get it. Like, you have to advocate for your kid. I don't feel like negative feeling towards the family.
Yeah, I'm not mad at y'all for doing this. It just was.
The lawyer was very sassy, and I did get sassy back. And our lawyer did have to be like, you need to calm down.
Sassy lawyers are the worst.
You're getting paid the most out of anyone here, so you should have the best attitude.
But I was like, oh, am I going to, is this going to be every year? Because it's year one. So if this is how it's going to be every year, I don't think I'm going to make it. But it wasn't. So that's okay. And honestly, it sounds so cliche, but I came out of it stronger. Where I was like, oh, well, I'm not going through a due process, so that's not that bad. Like, I already had the bad time, so, like, this is fine.
Yeah, it's like nothing could be worse than that. Because that's how I feel about teaching, because COVID happened my first year teaching. So I'm like, oh, we didn't have an earth-shattering event that fundamentally changed the entire fabric of our nation. Seems like fine, then.
I can't believe that you went through that as a first-year teacher who hadn't gone through student teaching or anything.
It was actually kind of, I don't want to call it a blessing in disguise because I hate when people say that about COVID because a lot of fucking people died. But the timing of it wasn't the worst because I was like really hitting like a wall of exhaustion because my first year teaching, I was lesson planning for the next day every night. So like every day I was working like 12-hour days, and it happened like right at spring break. And I remember thinking like, oh, I really needed spring break to like take like some breathing room. And then I
like, it wasn't necessarily the worst thing in the world that A, we didn't have evaluations done that year because I was not prepared for that at all. And I know evaluations can follow you. So I'm very weird about getting feedback on paper when it's not you're perfect and we love you. So I was really glad that I didn't have to get an evaluation for my first year. And then I also got to spend like March, April, May getting a lot more organized with like my curriculum because I was like, okay, next year I want to be better. So I like started like lesson planning better and just like being more organized. So it was very odd and definitely really traumatic, but from like a logistics perspective, wasn't as earth-shattering as it could have been, I think.
Did you have to supplement your curriculum a lot?
Yes. I'm actually having a really interesting experience this year. I've never taught where it's like, here's curriculum. Like, I've never taught where I had like a textbook and activities and things like that. Like, I've taught where I had textbooks, but the textbooks were always outdated, poorly written above my students' reading level. Like, they were just not, or they didn't have any work with them. It was just the book. So I've always just literally been creating my own stuff, like Quizlet, find this history.com article, let's analyze it, make a graphic organizer. But this year I'm teaching AP US History, which the school did not give me a curriculum for, but because it's like a nationwide course, there's a lot of good stuff out there. Like for every unit, one, my old colleague at the real estate place gave me $500 to buy an entire year's of PowerPoints online. And then I also just like, there's really good free resources for like worksheets and readings and stuff like that. And I was like, is this what like teaching with a curriculum feels like? This is actually incredible. I was like, the fact that I can make a week's lesson plans in like 35 minutes and I'm not literally creating everything from scratch, I was like, this is gorgeous. Is this normal for people who teach like where you like get a curriculum?
Well, and I feel like now, and it's even creeping up into middle school, we're seeing a lot more like scripted curriculum.
What are your thoughts on scripted? I've never had it.
I mean, I used to teach SRA, which was like the ultimate. If you're not familiar with that, I think it's like scholastic reading. I don't remember what it is. But it's an intervention. And it is like, when I say scripted, like I literally had a book that I had to hold up and like point to the different things.
That's a lot.
So I got used to taking a script and like giving it pizzazz. So it doesn't bother me to have a scripted curriculum. But then there's also like, well, are you really doing it with fidelity? And again, I'm teaching content areas, so these questions don't really come up as much. That's not really something I had to dedicate a lot of worry to.
We had a lot of scripted curriculum when I was teaching kindergarten, and it drove me insane. And you're like, well, I need to like supplement, I need to differentiate. And administration was like,
they're like, no, listen, they put a box at the bottom that says what to do for English language learners. Like, you're good.
That box.
They were like, did you see the little graphic?
They're like, don't worry about
you
it.
Literally, you know exactly that that's the bane of my existence. I'm
for
like,
ELL learners, have them draw a picture. What?
You mean the regular Sedai strategies that I do every single fucking day of my life? Thank you so much.
I never would have thought of that. I'm so glad you put it in a little box for me.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you got to do the pizzazz.
I do wonder if it's nicer for like newer teachers.
Oh, it's so nice.
Yeah.
I'm sure I would have loved that my first year.
I had no curriculum my first year. Oh, that's a lie. The only curriculum I had my first year was Lucy Calkins.
Nice.
And I took that book and threw it at a wall and cried. And I was surrounded by people that loved it so much. For the most part, I have a coworker from that year that listens to this, and I know you didn't like it either. But it was just like, I felt like I was taking crazy pills.
I did always enjoy looking at the kindergarten like journals.
I love a journal.
The just like waterfall of letters that would appear. And I was like, oh, that's fun.
Once we start doing sentence writing in kindergarten in general, like, it is so freaking fun having them like read it back to you and tell you what it says. There's something so cute about it. Their little thoughts. I always have a kid who would write like fuck or something. And I.
You're like, you got that digraph at the end. I love it.
Parents would be like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, no, I'm not mad. Like, I can't tell you how not mad I am.
You're
about
like
that.
Incredible sounding it out. Like, I loved how you wrote all by yourself.
The penmanship? Fantastic.
The vowel? Are you kidding? Oh, God. I miss it so much. I guess I'm the only one not teaching in this week's episode.
You are.
How very unique.
But you have a child, so you get to teach every day of your life, even if you don't want to. Do you have any other middle school lore you want to share? Any other advice for the middle school teachers?
So, listen, I told you I took notes, and I do have other things.
Ooh, yay.
Please.
I made a list, and I don't know if this is, like, these are good band names or good advice.
Both.
So, these are, I wrote these down as, like, my goals for teaching middle school. Neutral mischief.
Perfect.
So, it's mischief, but no one gets hurt.
Perfect.
The best kind. I think
that's really important. Isolated chaos. So, like, either they understand the limit of the time that the chaos can happen, or they understand the physical limit. Because they have to have a release.
They do.
Like, you have to release that pressure at some point. And it's usually in my room, which I'm fine with, because I don't care. And then, lastly, I put targeted shenanigans, because they have a lot of power in their hands. And I just want them to focus that power towards those who have actual power in society and destroy them. But they just keep doing it to each other.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the enemy is outside the building.
You need to band together.
So sometimes I do become the villain so that it's a good team building experience. But I can only do that so often. It's pretty draining. But those are my three things. Neutral mischief, isolated chaos, and targeted shenanigans. And the learning objectives for middle school is like boundaries. That's just what I teach them. Like, how far can I take it? And it's still pretty okay. Like, when I taught ELA, like, I would let them get weird with their writing, and I would help them practice, like, now you've crossed a line.
Like, now everyone's uncomfortable.
Because when you wrote that, it sends my heart into a sense of horror. So, like, I think now we know where the line is, and we still cross it again.
All of the things you just said are so applicable to, like, broader life in general as well, in society.
I'll give you a perfect example. When I play, because I know you guys have talked about, like, gamified education. I'm not sponsored. I love GymKit.
It is so fun.
I love it so, I play it with the kids.
Yes.
Like, I'm not getting anything done because I'm in it to win it. And I let them pick their names, but I say, you can get weird. However, if I were to copy and paste that name into an email to your grownups, would you be embarrassed? And if you'd be embarrassed, I wouldn't type it in there because I will. 100%. They're going to hear it from me before a random other kid goes, do you know what they made their name? And then sometimes my favorites, they're like, I didn't even know it was a bad thing.
Okay.
Okay, well, now you know.
For sure.
But I let them be your mom as long as they use the right your, because that's a boundary.
It's a boundary.
And a skill.
It's a good grammar integration. One time I signed into Blookit as your mom and played and just dominated. And they were like, who's your mom? And I just felt a lot of joy the whole period.
I love joining with... I can't do this anymore, but when we were in COVID times, I would join with the name of a kid that was absent.
Oh, that's real. I haven't tried that, but that's real good.
They don't suspect the thing.
They also like to name themselves after me. Like one kid, this was probably my favorite. They named themselves Wish, Dr. Not Gonna Say, like the Wish version. I was like, you roasted yourself. Like, I want you to believe in yourself a little bit more.
You're like, you're definitely Sheen. You're not
You're
Wish.
At least Target.
It brought me a lot of joy.
It seems like they really like you.
Yeah, I mean, love this.
I really like them, which sounds like so corny, but I really genuinely, this year, I mean, because I actually know what I'm teaching. I'm teaching the same thing again. I love the subjects I teach. There's just a lot that kind of came together that made it successful. That's why even when I make videos, I'm like very upfront about like my situation is not normal. Like one, the salary I make is very appropriate for my education level.
Dope.
Pennsylvania's good
you
at that.
You have Go Guardian and a livable wage?
Honestly, and I teach where I grew up in. So like I have colleagues that taught me, so I know what the kids experience living in that area. So it's just chock full of privileges that make it easier for me to love teaching, because it's very easy not to, because it's the stress level is insane.
It unfortunately is.
Like, I don't blame anyone for leaving.
Yeah. I feel the same way about my current position. Like, I teach a class that I'm very passionate about. There's lots of free stuff online for me, and it's 15 minutes from my house, and no one yells at me. So if you can find that, get it.
But that's the thing I'm always saying too. It's like that's out there. And I think a lot of people feel really stuck where they are because it's like, oh, well, this is just what teaching is. And that narrative is really pushed a lot where it's like, oh, it just sucks. And it doesn't always. And that's the thing that like I always want people to know is like it doesn't have to and it shouldn't suck.
Dream bigger, people.
Just like we tell our middle school kids in their relationships, you shouldn't have to hate it this much.
100%.
Not every relationship is that much work.
It should not be this tumultuous. Not even close.
Some of them are actually enjoyable, I swear. And then they stop coming to me for advice, so it's fine.
They're like, that lady's insane. I don't know. My mom said all men are terrible. That seemed more applicable.
I'm like, you know what? That's fair.
This was so fun. I'm obsessed with you.
This brought me a lot of joy.
If I ever have a middle schooler, I'm just going to send them to you.
I'll take them.
Like, they're your problem.
I love it.
Redacted was always inviting teachers for a while, and I had to be like, Redacted, it's called Teacher Quit Talk. But if it's, they're all this amazing, you can bring on whoever you want.
I told you. I've had a good reason for everyone.
You have always killed it.
I told you that, you know, making a sad video just was really another form of manifesting. My friend was like, I'll bring you on my podcast. And I was like, this is working out great for me. I should have shed real tears. I could have like increased my invites tenfold.
Get the fake ones from Amazon.
Tiny hand comes up to wipe it off.
I will say I love the tiny hands. When I was teaching small group reading in kindergarten, I would always have like a weird thing on my finger. Like
yeah.
Little tiny hands, excellent. Witch fingers, also a killer. They sell little eyeball ones that are just mm-hmm. like eyeballs.
For yes.
Oh,
it's just got like a full incredible. Skull. It's like the head and then the four claws.
What?
I've looked into this a lot, is what I'm saying.
I need to get back in that classroom.
This is a lot of the research. This is the research-based instruction my students are getting.
You got to find the fun.
You really do. That's the best part about teaching, is if you want to have fun, it's literally so fun because you get to do whatever you want.
And I want kids to have a good time because they're forced, it's mandatory. They're not choosing to be there.
Like the government mandates this. Let's have a goofy time before you get sent back on your weird metal bus to your little respective homes.
I love them. Thank you so much for joining us. This was like amazing.
No, I'm very grateful. This was super fun.
All right. Bye, everyone. Have a good day.
We love everyone. Have a great day. Ciao.
Ciao.